You know, in truth, this session is dedicated to Inyonei Chinuch. But I think that, you know, there are two types of Chinuch moments. One, an opportunity to get a message across when the question is, you know, it's something of interest and something of concern, and you feel you have a captive audience. But sometimes even more than that is a moment when you just can't overlook responding or attempting to deal with an issue that's just very, very overwhelming, very painful, very tragic, and very scary, frankly, to everybody, and confusing. And I guess that's what this situation is, and therefore, just I would say almost a feeble attempt to try to maybe put things in perspective. There's two ingredients that, unless we have them in life, I don't think we stand a chance of surviving. Surviving, that is, emotionally, you know, without just falling apart. And one is that Hashem not only orchestrates everything in this world, and there are no accidents, but that Olam Chesed Yibone, that Hashem created the world only for Chesed, with Chesed, to do Chesed, about Chesed, and everything that he does in this world has to be viewed in that context, despite the fact that there are many times when it becomes mind-boggling to see it in those terms. But that's one yisod. If we don't have that yisod, that Hashem is involved in everything in this world, and everything that he does is all part of this greater master plan of Chesed, unless we see that, then we can't cope. Second thing that I think is critical, and without it, I don't think we can survive, and that is to realize the continuum of life. The continuum of life means that it starts here, and in fact, we'll discuss in a moment, it may have started before, but it starts here in this world and continues on eternally. And even though at some point the body exits, so to speak, the living existence, whether it remains intact or it disintegrates, that's a different discussion. But the neshama, the soul, lives on eternally. And there is an eternal world. And the eternal world is just that, the world that exists, and that which exists in it is forever. So on the one hand, you have the beginning, which is this very, very brief, and by comparison, instantaneous existence, and then the eternal world that exists beyond. And I think that unless we have these two concepts of Hashem's chesed, involvement in chesed, and purpose of chesed, and everything is chesed, and then plus the fact that there is this world and the next, and there's a connection between, there's an eternal life, this world is probably going to be too difficult to cope with, and certainly a tragic situation that has occurred, and so many, unfortunately, tragedies that do occur when they become, we become aware of them, or hear about them, or close to them. They shake us to the core of our being. Without these two concepts, I think that we can't cope. The problem is that even with these two concepts, it becomes very, very difficult to cope because, okay, so I have to say everything is done by Hashem. There's no accidents, and everything is chesed. Okay, but could you please explain to me the chesed here? No clue. Who could explain that? Who could see that? I don't know, maybe. I don't know. We certainly can't. So it makes that concept very, very difficult because of the fact that I can't deal with it. The eternal world is also sometimes a little bit difficult to deal with because it's far away, and our life, our existence, our senses, our reality that we live in is this very limited world, and therefore this concept of eternity is too far away and too nebulous and too difficult to really deal with. So on the one hand, these are two ingredients that are critical. On the other hand, they're very difficult ingredients to deal with, to measure up to really internalize and appreciate. So this is a part of the problem. And therefore, I believe that the only way to begin the coping process, and I wouldn't even call it a healing process, just a coping process emotionally and you know, to get through it, to get by it, to go on with a little bit less overwhelming confusion than we would have otherwise, is to have some sense of a scenario, an attempt, a mahalach, to begin to imagine the possibilities of things that go on in the world, which to us seem beyond human comprehension, and certainly seem to be not in sync with certainly with the concept of chesed. And for that, I think that we have to realize what we're told. It's brought in all the Sforim, that there's such a thing as Gilgul Neshama. That Neshamas have a mission in this world, and sometimes when that mission is for some reason not completed, that Neshama leaves the world and still didn't complete its mission, and sometimes for its eternal benefit, and I say that very carefully, for its eternal benefit, to be able to reach that eternal life and that eternal hano, and to be nene miziv ha-shechino forever and ever, forever. So it has to come back to this world. And that's really, it seems, a relatively frequent occurrence. And it seems that it's brought that, especially towards the end of days before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a lot of Gilgulei neshamas that have to come back to this world because they didn't fulfill their mission, and they have to fulfill their mission in order to be able to be zeicha to the eternity and to, I guess, all of the events that are going to take place, hopefully, in the not-too-distant future. So that's the concept. And what that means is, besides the fact that we do find in Chazal that there are people that complete their mission more quickly, they complete their mission more quickly, and therefore their time has come and they leave the world, but there are sometimes neshomas that have to come back to this world in order to be mashlim, to complete a mission that was left uncompleted, and to be able to finish up this job. Now, what this does is that it creates a scenario that means we really don't know how long a person who's here is supposed to live, and what his goal is to accomplish, and we don't even know who and what and if and but it means that a lot of the confusion that exists, it exists, but we know that there are cheshbonos that are beyond us that we don't have access to, but we know that they exist, and therefore, it's a common occurrence. I've often told over this particular story. It's a little bit painful, even so many years later, but it was a source of chizuk when many, many, many years ago we had asked a teacher who was teaching in our girls' school, in Los Angeles to tell a story at the end of the year, Malava Malka. This is like 2 years, 2 weeks before the end of the school year. And told a story and about this elderly couple that didn't have any children. They went to the Rebbe, they got a brocha, they had a child. The child lived for 5 years and the child passed away. And they were very broken, and the woman couldn't have any more children. She was older. And they went to the Rebbe, Hayitochen, and it seems that he told them that this was a neshama of a ger tzedek who lived the super righteous life from the time he was 5 years old when he was Megayer, became enamored with his Jewish tutor and ran away and became a ger tzedek. But when he came to Shomayim, when it came to the discussion or the decisions about the eternity and what type of a status or a level, or I don't know how those things work over there, you know, how close to the Kisei HaKovod, I really don't know how the system works, but he has to come back to this world to be mashlim, to make up for those 5 years. Those 5 years that he lived as a goy and doing whatever he was doing. And he says, that child that you had was this neshama. And he came back, his mission, he accomplished his mission, and now this neshama lives on forever on the highest of a tzaddik, mamish tzaddik yisoyinu. Now, that's a very important concept, and it's very true. Frankly, I was personally very annoyed at the choice of entertainment for the Malava Malka. I had in mind the story to, you know, make them feel good in a Malava Malka, not this deep hashkofa, which was... Anyway, as many of you must have heard before, that 2 weeks later, I was on the plane together with my wife to bury my 5-and-a-half-year-old son in Eretz Yisrael. And all of a sudden, I remember just like today, I turned to my wife and I said, wow, that story, he was talking to us. And I found such a source of nechoma and strength in that story. Because, yes, there are children that come into this world that are neshamas of giants, maybe, of the previous generations, that have to fulfill a tafkid, and they fulfill that tafkid, and then it's time for them to go. Now, we don't know who, what, why. We don't know why it has to happen. We don't know why it's so many or so few years. We don't know why it's such dire and difficult and tragic circumstances. We don't know anything. But sometimes the possibility of a concept that there is something there that I don't know, and I still don't know, and I still can't make any sense out of it. But just being able to have some coping mechanism of, that's the way Hashem runs the world. Now, that can only work as a scenario to be able to almost guess, that's the wrong word, but I don't have a better word, almost like,
conject.
What?
Conject.
Suggest?
Conject.
What? To who?
Conjecture.
To who?
Conjecture.
Conjecture, no, but I don't like that word either. Almost to suggest, conjecture is not such a nice word. It's almost to suggest the possibility, something which, you know, I could understand that this, believe it or not, in the context of eternity, might be a chesed. Emotionally, I can't handle it. That's true, but now I don't know, and we don't know, and we can't know. And ein biyodenu, the Mishnah says, loy mishalbas harishoyim v'loy miyisurei hatzadikim. It's not biyodenu. We're not capable of understanding the good that happens to the Rishoyim, the peace of mind that they have, and the suffering that happens to the Tzaddikim, it's beyond us. But sometimes we need a little bit to be able to cope with it, and to say, you know, I don't get it, I don't understand it. So that's one piece of perspective. The other piece of perspective I think that's needed to cope with these tragic situations is the realization that the whole question is not an intellectual question. In fact, there are no intellectual questions on Hashem because we're not capable of understanding. And the way I put it, I says, I think even if he told me the answer, I wouldn't understand what he's talking about. You know, I don't like to reference, but I do all the time, the story that they tell about this certain individual during the Holocaust in one of the camps, and someone asked him why all these things are happening, and he says, I'm an old man, and I learned a long time ago, I don't ask Hashem why. Because I'm afraid if he says, why? You want to know why? Come on upstairs, and I'll show you what it's all about. I'm not quite ready to go. In this world, we certainly can't understand, and we have no intellectual questions. The questions are emotional. But emotional questions are maybe even more painful than intellectual questions. It's not intellectual because we can't begin. We can't think. We shouldn't have the grandiosity or the chutzpah to think that we could understand the Darkei Hashem. But on the other hand, emotionally, it's so painful, and it's so confusing, and it's so upsetting, and it's so difficult emotionally to understand that even though rationally I know that I shouldn't be asking such questions. So that's something that we do have to cope with. And it seems that the coping mechanism for that is to focus more and more on the Chesed Hashem. Because it's really the pain is this pain of non-chesed, this pain of anti-chesed, this pain of emotionally, like, if this is chesed, you know, this is chesed, I don't want any part of it. Like, what's going on over here? And I think that the answer to that is this the whole thing, the Sipunu on Mizrach Shel Yom HaShabbos, seems to ask the question about suffering, and then it says, Tzadik Atomer Yifroch, look at the Tzadik and look at his Maisim Tovim and be awed by his Mesiras Nefesh, even in his old age. That's Lahagid Kiyosher Hashem, V'lo Yavlo Sobay. That seems to answer the question. That's not an intellectual answer, because the question is, why are the Rishoyim getting away and the Tzadikim suffering? But emotionally, when I see the good in the world, whether it's the good of the tzaddik or the good of the Rebbeinu Shalom, I see Dashkocha Protis, I see Chesed, I look at Chesed, I sometimes have to overdose on Chesed in order to counterbalance the emotional pain that I feel from such situations. And that seems to be the only coping mechanism that can really help a little bit, because to realize that What? Intellectual? I mean, you know, I'll ask this world class super scientist who invented or whatever it is, theories and theorems and whatever. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm going to ask him questions. It's ridiculous. I don't know the first thing about it. And that's really, but emotionally, the pain is so great. And that's really the way to cope. And I think that at times like this, of course, the best coping mechanism, which may not always work, is if in the suffering itself we could see what they used to call the silver lining. You know, they used to say every cloud has a silver lining. If in the clouds we could discover the silver lining, that helps a little more. But if we can't, at least to refocus and revisit and reflect on the extent of the Chesed Hashem, and you know, like, and the truth of the matter is that many times that we can't see, for example, and again, anything we're discussing here should not really be even thought to be directly relevant to this, because it's conjecture. We don't know what went on, what's going on. It's too recent. It's too overwhelming, really, but just in general, that we do find sometimes that when people go through difficulties, that sometimes they gain a new dimension of connection to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and in the true sense of the eternal continuum that starts in this world and goes on forever, then that the value of that is not shaykh to comprehend even, and certainly from our little myopic vantage point in this world, it's very difficult to comprehend. But a person gets closer to Hashem through difficulty and challenge, and it forges a new relationship and has deeper appreciation and greater emunah and greater bitochon and deeper tefillah and more dveikus Hashem. Again, we don't know how to measure these things, but so, and we have to look for those things. Now, again, in certain situations, it's hard, and maybe it's not even nice to start looking for them, but it certainly can be helpful to be able to refocus and rededicate and revive the appreciation for the extent of Hashem's chesed. One thing which is a little bit, despite the magnitude, and maybe because of the magnitude, but also with the perspective of years, that today when people deal with the Holocaust, it's a little bit more removed than it was 30 years ago and 50 years ago, and it's two generations. It's a little bit easier. It's also easier, the truth is, because it's so big, the numbers, that we can't really grasp with what took place. It's something that's individual, a family, individuals, people, that's tangible, that's graphic. The numbers like that are like statistics. They don't really mean anything to us. But one of the things that is very helpful to cope with that particular situation is focusing on all of the chesed that took place to save so many lives. Millions of lives were miraculously saved in that tkufa, during the tkufa of the Second World War, when so many were killed. But so many were saved with miracles. I mean, the stories that come out, the stories that have come out, the stories that in some families are first now being talked about or publicized or written about, that people who kept quiet for 70 years and couldn't even talk. And it's when you see that, so you see, zel umaseh, there was such suffering which we can't comprehend and we can't explain, and if we were zeichet to hear any explanations, we wouldn't understand them anyway, probably. But mitzad sheni, they were massive, extensive, unbelievable amounts of nisim and chasodim that took place to bring about to save so many people. And the truth of the matter is, and this is just together attempting, trying to cope. I'm just trying to give an example of that. I mean, look what has happened since then. I mean, the so much of that world was rebuilt with a passion that, for many, was fired by the suffering that they went through. So many of the Hasidic courts, movements of people, Rebbeim, that lost everything, and they came and they rebuilt with miracles. They rebuilt with passion. They rebuilt with unbelievable determination. Same thing with yeshivas. I mean, the Ponev Zhirov came out of the terrible tragedies that took place, and he said he's, he's building this city called Ponevish, and he did it. And they felt that they had to rebuild. They felt that they had to. So we don't know all these cheshbonos. We don't know what's going on, but we certainly have to feel the pain, and we should not try to remove the pain. We have to cope with pain. We shouldn't remove the pain. On the other hand, we have to be mechazik ourselves and refocus on those values that we know to be true, and based on that, we find the strength to be able to cope, despite the fact that tragedy, individual tragedy, when we some people even know people that were involved. Like, there's no way to be able to to remain the same once we're confronted with such a thing.